Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to this week's Fawcast. We're here at the Charterhouse Real Estate offices, and next to the alleged hooker spot here in Ankeny.
It's not alleged. There's proof.
Mark, the back room where to find a hooker chat rooms on the internet is not proof.
Are you telling me that there's no legitimacy to rubmaps.com? Is that what you're saying to me?
I'm just saying, like, I don't think that would hold up in court.
I'm preoccupied over here. I'm responding to my own brother on Twitter who said that last week's podcast was the worst ever.
What's his premise for that?
I don't know. He links to a YouTube video. I just noticed that. So I'm not sure.
Of Dumb and Dumber and totally redeem yourself. So I think he's hoping that we can rebound here.
Which is weird because, like, I thought we got a lot of positive reviews last week.
I think we had some people saying they were spitting out their drinks from laughing. And we're just here to amuse. That's what we do.
Okay, so before we dive in, we have Super Bowl prop bets. We have a lot to get to. I have a father. I need fatherly advice. You guys have both been dads a lot longer than I have. Last night, we're watching the Iowa State women's game at our house.
Yep.
Big game against Baylor where they really didn't have much of a chance going into it. Really competitive first quarter. Cyclones have the lead for the majority of time. At the end of the first quarter, Baylor hits a three, like literally at the buzzer, to take the lead, and Cammy, while sitting in her Mickey Mouse chair, sipping on apple juice, screams, "Damn it!" She's not even two.
Oh, man, I would...
What do you do?
It's time to spank. You just pull that diaper down and just, you know.
I was kind of proud of her.
Here's the deal. So I there was a study, supposedly. There's studies for everything, as we know. There was one that came out the other day, or at least a theory, that people that swear are smarter than other people. Now, you don't want to say it every word, but if my 2-year-old – so I have a 2-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
And if she did that, I would have laughed.
Okay, so that's
like,
what I
did. Like, it's cute and charming at that age. Well, that's what it is. And I just hope you get experience the day that you're, like, shopping in Target and she yells out a big old F-bomb where other people hear it, and then you can just deal with that because that happens too.
Yeah.
Like, my sister used to do that. My dad drove for UPS, and they would meet him over at the mall in Ames when he had that particular route. And she would get excited because here comes daddy's big brown F. She didn't say truck at the time. She couldn't pronounce that. So she would scream that out in the mall.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
Yeah.
I wasn't born yet, but, you know. Well, that's what I hear.
So I was kind of like, uh-oh, because I know she learned that from me.
Yeah.
Because my wife really, I mean... For her to, like, cuss, it's got to be a big deal.
Not a cusser.
I'm a casual cusser when I'm watching the Cyclones, like all of us, I'm sure.
If you watch Iowa State, you're going to be cussing a little bit
at times. So, like, I'm like, oh, no, she learned that from me. However, man, I'm really kind of proud of her at the same time.
She's into the game.
Yeah, like, she's – and I was impressed for a kid who's, you know, not even 2 years old. Like, she's engaged in the – like, it's crazy – when the TV is on anything, Iowa State, she's just yelling, "Go Cyclones!" Like, she's obsessed with it. That's my girl.
So what did you do?
I didn't do anything because I guess, and again, we don't really know what we're doing. This is our first kid.
Mm-hmm.
We never really know what you're doing. We have no clue.
You make it up as you go along.
But we didn't make a big deal out of it.
Okay.
Because I figured, like, if I laughed at her, she would think it's cute and do it again. If I yelled, I didn't really want to scare her because, like, really what she did wasn't – it's not like she was, like, deceiving me or, like, trying to be bad.
Yeah.
She didn't know she was being bad.
Yeah.
So I just didn't say – because it's literally the first time she's ever cussed in any capacity.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, well, if this is a trend, then I'm going to jump in on this. But up until now, I think it's fine.
I get much more – so if Seton hasn't done that a lot. Seton's five, but he doesn't swear really ever. But, you know, he'll say kid versions of swear words. But I would get much more upset at Seton than I do when he sneaks contraband. That pisses me off.
Like, when he what?
Like, he's a sugar fiend. He takes after his dad, you know. And I was taking off his socks one night to get him ready for bed, and, like, candy came out of his socks. Like, he was trying to sneak it into his room so he could eat it after. We found stuff under his bed. We found stuff under the couch. Every time, it's like, Seton, you can't keep doing this? Are we going to treat your room like Shawshank prison cell? We're going to we're shaking this thing down.
Williams doesn't know what that means.
We're going to have to start.
We're going
to have to start flipping. We're going to have to flip mattresses and stuff to see what you're hiding in here. Look for holes in the wall. And every time he's like, I know, and he gets upset and he's sad, but he just like the lure of sugar is
sugar's
too strong.
Like cocaine. Man.
Yeah, it's too
it
strong
does that
for
mental,
him to resist,
yeah.
man. So we're working on him with it, but I hate it when he hides stuff from me. I'd much rather him swear.
We used to do that in my family. So, you know, I'm one of six.
Yeah.
If we ever got, like, Pop-Tarts, it was a huge deal. So you would try to get up, wake up early enough to get Pop-Tarts.
I mean, yeah, you got six kids, like, a box of Pop-Tarts. I mean,
not everyone gets a box.
Yeah.
It gets one. So my brother was notorious for taking him and, like, hiding him in his room and stuff, like, you know.
Which one?
David.
David, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get that. I mean, I've been there. I've done it.
Large families that I had a friend that was one of nine, and they had constant food battles too. It reminds me of like the image of the farm where the pigs are all trying to get to the teat, and there's not enough room. There's only so much teat to go around. So in this case, Pop Tart.
He just wanted to say teat. That was really it.
I think that's the actual phrase, right? Teat. It's a teat.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That just reminds me of Meet the Parents. That's a movie I have
seen. Can you milk me? Yeah. I'm shocked. Anytime you say you've seen a movie, I'm surprised.
I like the stupid humor, man. Like, what? I don't go to many movies and stuff, but if there's like a good like comedy coming out, those are the ones I like. I'll pay money to go see one of those.
See, comedies to me, I can watch in my house. I like to see action movies in the theater.
I get that. Yeah. I mean, it's more of the
surround sound,
action
the screen.
I understand that. I just like, you know, my dad though.
Yeah.
How I grew up, like we didn't watch like Disney. We were watching Seinfeld.
Well, sure.
That's just how I grew up.
I had Seinfeld on last night, by the way, and what episode was it? Oh, it was the one where George puts his car in the parking lot and the prostitutes have sex in it. And yeah. I had it on as I was making dinner, and Jake kept asking me questions, and I'm like, probably should not have this on right now. He's 10 years old, but I'm not ready to explain to him why Kramer's getting arrested at the end of it for getting in a fight with a prostitute.
Did you tell him that's called a soup kitchen when that happens?
Was that the one where, like, George had the great spot and he didn't want to give it up?
No.
That's a different one.
He parks it in an actual spot and he finds a condom wrapper in there. And so then he starts doing an investigation and Kramer's car's gone. So they give him that pink Mary Kay car and he's got the jacket on and everything. Yeah.
That show is so brilliant.
Oh, it's great.
What about the Ass Man episode? How great is that?
Hey, Ass Man!
Great.
Cosmo Kramer, proctology.
Did Gray, have you taken your wife to La La Land yet?
My wife is gone. I did not go. I'm not a big musical fan.
What is La La Land?
La La Land is all the rage. So La La Land stars the handsome Ryan Gosling. I assume you know who he is.
He's delicious.
He's dreamy.
And Emma Stone.
Oh. Don't they date in real life?
The ginger. No, he's married. No, he has a kid. Not married.
Ava Mendez.
Yeah,
they're not married.
Correct. So, no. But they've been in a couple movies together, and they have some nice on-screen chemistry. La La Land is a movie that takes place in modern day in L.A., but has a feel that it's like more like the 50s. And it is a musical, which is rare these days. We don't get a lot of musicals.
Because they suck.
It's up for 14 Academy Awards, which is tied,
like your face.
Yeah, the most ever Academy Awards it's nominated for. And I went, my wife and I went to it, and it's a movie that exists for one reason. It exists to just make you happy and just watch something different, and that's what it is. So I liked it. I enjoyed it.
So,
in fact, I would see it again, probably.
I hear the reason it's up for all these awards, it's because it's a movie that tells you how great Hollywood is, and Hollywood loves being told how great they are. Is that true?
It romanticizes a little bit, Hollywood, but it also shows the struggle of trying to be an actor at the same time.
Now that I'm older and I have a little more maturity, I realize how rude this was. I was in college, and I went on a date with a girl to the ballet. It was like the Nutcracker was there. At C.Y. Stevens there in Ames. And I literally got up and walked out.
Yeah, it's awful. No, you can't pay me to go to that.
But out of respect to the young lady, I should have stayed.
Did you leave her there?
Yeah.
Did you come back and pick her up?
That's pretty brutal.
I went to the bar.
That's
awful.
I know. Like, I feel bad about it.
That reminds
me. If some kid did that to my daughter, I'd whoop his ass.
That reminds
you'd call
me
someone
of
else. You'd call someone else to help whoop his ass.
I would call up one of my old football friends and say, hey, I need you to take care of something.
My at our wedding,
our
maid of honor. Our maid of honor is best friends with my wife, Jennifer is her name. And Jennifer she's happily married now, but at the time she was dating a guy, and she lived overnight with City, and he lived overnight with City. And they came over on a Friday for our Saturday wedding. And then the next morning we got up for the wedding, and he had dumped her and drove home. So she was like, the day of our wedding, she was noticeably sad the whole day. And then like, apparently didn't have a ride home either. He was the ride home. I don't know how she got home. Somebody drove that way, I guess, after
the
wedding.
This is before Uber, too, you know?
Well before Uber. So it's like, are you that guy that like dumps her at the wedding that she's in and then takes off and heads back home?
She probably deserved
it.
Like,
you just got to like get through the weekend, don't you? And then like.
How bad was she? I mean, was she.
No, she's a great girl.
How this deal went down, though, like, so we're sitting there. And I'm hating it, right?
Sure.
And she kept telling me, like nice girls do, oh, you know, you can leave if you want. Like,
before like ESPN apps where you could been busy on
your
phone.
Like, she keeps going like, you know, like it's okay. Like, I know you're not enjoying it. Guys, if you're listening, I know we have a lot of young listeners. Don't take her literally.
I'm guessing your relationship was over that night.
Well, the problem was that I'm texting her like to meet me at the bar after it.
And still hoping to get a little booty call. I got you. Yeah. That's a bold move, buddy.
The relationship actually, believe it or not, sparked after that.
Really?
But I think,
she liked the rebel in you.
I think that she liked the bad boy, but it was still a very rude thing to do.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Like, you shouldn't do that.
By the way, while it is rude, it's also tolerable now because, as an example, my son plays basketball every Saturday, and when you're five, the basketball sucks at that level.
They
big time. Big time. But my son, they play.
It's pathetic.
So he's in a group of five, and they go out and play half of the first half, and then they play half of the second half. But when he's out of the game, the ESPN app's the greatest thing in the world. I mean, get that on your phone if you don't have it because you can watch games. Like last week they were playing.
Why don't you sit and talk to your wife if she's next to you or some of the other parents?
She's usually watching over my shoulder
with the
game too.
I'm with you on that app, by the way.
It's great.
Yeah, well, and then you can have the
– I was watching Iowa State-Oklahoma. I was sitting at my son's game watching Iowa State-Oklahoma
on my
phone.
DirecTV or Dish both have sick apps, too, where you can just – I mean, you're literally just watching what's on your – you can watch your DVR.
Yeah. Technology is a great thing.
When I'm at my in-laws, I watch my DVR. I catch up on the DVR. It's great.
Technology is incredible, but our attention spans do stink now because of it. I will happily admit that.
I did watch the first 10 minutes of the Iowa State-Vandy game on my phone before – Jake's games.
You saw the good part.
Yeah. We were up 9 when I turned it off.
Why weren't you talking to your wife?
Because she wasn't there.
Why were you, why were you texting her?
Why were you just telling your wife how beautiful she is?
Why weren't you FaceTiming her?
I had already done that a couple times earlier that day.
Jeez, you're all talk, man.
Yep. Back to the cussing thing, though.
Okay.
So my dad is over. My parents come over for the West Virginia game.
Yeah, I watched clone games with your dad.
Yeah.
Been there.
So we're there. Obviously, things are not going good. Jack is... Bullshit. God damn it.
Hey, come on. I mean, I know that we're...
Just to give an example...
You expected him to get through this without actually swearing
under
himself?
The jurisdiction of the FCC, but let's not celebrate it, okay?
So, I mean, stuff that everybody listening is probably saying throughout this game as well, but he's saying it in front of my two or three kids, which, you know, it's my dad, so I can't say anything, but my mom kept turning around being like, Jack, you can't...
You're setting a bad example as a grandpa.
And he's like... You turn back around one more time. He's like, I'll say whatever I want to say.
I love
Would you ever call your dad out for swearing in front of Cammy? Would you ever be like, hey, well, Mike, no, you can't say it in front of Cammy.
No.
Because he's your dad.
Yeah.
You can't say it in front of him.
I wouldn't.
Ever. I don't relate to this. My dad doesn't swear at all. But
and my
like,
dad doesn't my dad sets really ba- swear.
My dad sets bad examples in other ways, though. He feeds the dog stuff. He's not supposed to feed the dog, and he gives them too much crap that they don't need, and he does
those things. That's
why
Seed's got the sugar high all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
You guys,
absolutely.
I wish we could have videotaped when we had our Fodcast 100 party. So Mark's dad's here, and like one of the single nicest human beings I've ever met. Like,
yeah.
He's just
hard
fantastic.
To believe I came from him, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it really.
Oh, for sure.
Well, it's not hard to believe. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
We're pretty
yeah.
sure you're adopted.
Could be.
Yeah. He is just salt of the earth, genuine. I mean, he and I are sitting over there. We're having a cold beer, and we're talking about the Cubs. Yeah. He's talking about his experience of watching the Cubs. And then Rob Gray came over.
Is this going to get political?
No, I don't want it to get political.
Things did turn political pretty quick.
It's funny, though, because – Mark's dad is a conservative fellow, and Rob is
not.
Rob is, and I love Rob, and Rob's very educated. Like, he studies this stuff. He's very smart. He's been all around the world. Rob is very liberal.
Yeah.
And your poor dad.
Yeah. He was just trying to go along, man.
I felt so bad for your dad.
Didn't you start telling like a sexual story in front of your dad as well?
Yeah, we did a few of those that night.
And he just sat there and listened like a good dad and just kind of nodded his head. And I think he thought, where did I go wrong?
I'm not saying I didn't. I probably did. I don't recall what it was.
Okay,
but
so anyways, did you tell your dad to quit cussing?
No, because honestly, I don't think my kids even really noticed it until my mom started making it a bigger deal. And they weren't like, my dad's not a big cusser, but he'll say shit. He'll say damn, you know, damn it.
Yeah.
But he did it, I mean, probably 8 times in 10 minutes because that was when Iowa State was in a bad stretch and he was not happy.
No one's happy in a bad stretch.
But yeah, no, I mean, if he would have dropped an F-bomb, I probably turned around and like, dad, come on. No.
If we want to get Grace swearing, we should talk about how Prohm likes to call timeouts after we make a basket.
In Hilton Coliseum.
Yep. That seems to bother you more than anything else about him.
Drives me bonkers.
Well, the last 2 times he's done it, Vandy and then – again on Tuesday, then like the other teams like gone on a big run.
Dude, we're horrible out of timeouts. We're the worst in the country.
What do you think his theory is for why he does that?
I don't know.
He wants them to go to the timeout with a positive like momentum.
Yeah, he said that before.
I understand if you're on the road, maybe.
But if you have momentum, you got to let it flow.
When you're in Hilton,
that's the point of momentum. You got to let that crowd build up.
Build.
You just can't do it. You need to tell him. You need to be the voice of reason, Chris.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
Ask him at the next. He's got a press conference today, doesn't he?
I won't be there because it's during radio.
I'll text one together.
Let Jared or text Krogs. Have Krogs help.
Now that you've seen him,
his first question.
Professor's picks just came in. Just nobody will know what I'm talking about.
Thank you.
Yeah, just
in advance.
You know. It's a light schedule tonight, just so you guys know.
The professor has been so hot, money man.
Now that we know a little bit about Prohm, you guys have seen him for a season and a half, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel like, okay, we now know who he is? It is what it is?
No, I don't. I still am trying to figure out who he is.
You think it's going to change as he gets more of his own guys here? Or are we seeing what it will be like for the next 5 years as he's the coach?
I don't really know, to be honest. If you look back at Fred, now Fred's first team obviously was terrible. He didn't have much. They struggled. And then even the first half of the year with Royce, I mean, we almost lost Mississippi Valley State, and Hoiberg slams his hands on the table. And then after that, they kind of got going a little bit.
Yeah.
So to me, it's kind of is Prohm still kind of feeling in that a little bit because from Hoiberg's second through fifth, 6 years when he was really, really good.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know.
Okay, what was the question? Sorry, I was reading.
Is the Prohm that we've seen for a season and a half the Prohm that we get for the next 5 years?
No.
Or it will continue to evolve and change and he'll get better? Hopefully.
Yeah, I think he will. I mean, listen, my deal with Steve too is that second half, like, they didn't have great shots, but damn, like, I counted. I went through and did shot by shot.
Yeah.
They had plenty of good looks.
They missed 6 wide open threes, and they missed, like, I think 9 layups total, but 5 of them that I would consider to be, like, not that heavily contested.
Naz has been awfully.
And I've never seen a team miss more layups than these guys, and I get it. They're all, like, 6'4".
I wish they were 6'4".
There you go. But if they had more size, it would be easier to make layups. I understand that. But man, like, I just that game on Tuesday, like, I have a hard time just blaming Steve. Like, if those guys make half the shots, at the very least, you have a shot to win it. I don't know if you do, but you have a shot at the end.
Well, it was a combination of frustration because we were missing open shots, no question about it. But have you either one of you? I would put the question at 2, but have either one of you ever in your life seen 3 straight bank threes?
No.
Never.
Ever.
And now I'm assuming.
That was deflating, too.
I'm assuming those were 3 bad shots. That's not a guy that banks
right? They were contested.
Yeah, but it was like he was that bad 3 times in a row. They were, and they all went in.
They were heavily contested.
I mean, that's
threes.
Crazy.
I know.
That's crazy.
You're right, Adam. Deflating's the best way to describe that because it was –
Well, do you guys remember the craziest three was the long bomb three?
Jesus.
Yeah, that was swish. Actually swish.
Yeah.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Well, when you see something like that happen, you just think we're going to lose this game.
Oh, yeah.
It's not our night.
Because we actually played really well in the first half, in my opinion.
I thought that was maybe one of the better halves of basketball they played all year.
It's one thing to say
right
like
their top 5.
They got momentum because of a lucky basket. You could say that. But like they got momentum off 9 lucky points. That's a huge
Especially when you factor the crowd.
I thought they hit 5 garbage threes in the first half. They switched 2 that were garbage threes as well. That were just contested, just shouldn't even have shot them.
Hines
made
is really good basketball. He studies the sport a lot. And we were talking after the game. Like, even after they lost by 13, like, they really didn't play terrible on Tuesday night. It was just they couldn't make a damn shot. Like they were getting better looks in the second half on Tuesday. They didn't have a lot of games that they've won this year.
Yeah.
They just weren't making anything.
The problem and the reason why a lot of fans are upset, and I understand it, is because it's in Hilton.
Yeah.
You don't I know. You expect you Iowa State like to lose in Hilton, absolutely, let alone by 13, where you really never were in the game in the second half.
Well, you had posted, totally, Chris, agree. I think that was their worst loss since what?
2010.
I mean, and that was
Fred's first team. Yeah, that was Greg's last team, wasn't it?
No, Fred was here in 2010.
Was that his first year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't happen a lot.
That was Fred's first year against Kansas.
All right. Yeah. Who do we who's coming up? Who do we play?
We got at Kansas. So it doesn't get any easier, yeah.
Okay.
This is the only
The refs will be favorable for us though down there in Lawrence.
Yeah, jeez. Did you watch that game last night? Is there an arena, a stadium, anything in all of sports where a team gets more calls than Kansas?
Nope. Duke sometimes. Duke. At home with Coach K working them.
I don't think it's as strong as Kansas though.
I agree. Some of the calls they were calling on Baylor, you sit there and the box out. Did you see the box out that they called on Baylor?
Dude.
He literally boxed the guy out. That's all he did is box him out.
I tweeted that last night. Rick Brown, longtime writer at the Register, he replied, and he's covered basketball for, what, 30 years?
Yeah.
40? And he said the only thing he's seen similar was when Bobby Knight was at Indiana.
Indiana terrified of him.
Yeah.
It's not Kansas's fault. I
mean, no.
Kudos to Bill Self for being able to work him and for the fans, but the refs got to grow a little bit of a spine
and quit being
little bitches.
Baylor just got totally homered. No, they probably wouldn't have won anyways.
They could have. Baylor played well.
They did not back down. Like, usually when Fog Allen gets going, like, mm-hmm, teams just cave.
Yeah,
other than Wayne Morgan coached teams.
They had a lot of threes.
It's because we had Curtis Stinson, baby. That dude was a tough SOB.
Let's find out who's going to be closest.
He had that Tinsley type of mentality. That's what I love.
I assume the Iowa State Kansas line's not out. Predict it.
9.5, 10.
Yeah, it'll be double digits. I
10, 11,
guess.
Somewhere in there.
Ken Pom's got it by 10 right now.
If it's double digits, I would probably take Iowa State just because there's a lot of teams that – Kansas, a lot of teams have played close to them there this year. They just can't win.
Well, and you know he's going to play Holden this time, so Iowa State should be a little bit better down low than they were last time.
Yeah, I don't think Iowa State will win, but
No, they won't win.
My only fear with this team is – because I think once you clear out that Kansas game, the schedule – is a lot more favorable for Iowa State. I am starting to be concerned, though. It's just like the one thing that's made them really good in the past is they've thought they were better than everybody else, meaning Iowa State, and you just got to keep their confidence somehow.
They're going to start pressing a little bit.
Are
they going to be okay when they start
pressing?
That's
my concern.
You got to beat Texas on the road.
Yeah, if you start pressing, you could easily drop one at home to an Oklahoma or a TCU. I wouldn't put it past this team.
To avoid the NIT, Iowa State has to do what from here out?
Get to 9-9. You should be good. If you're 10-8, then you're fine.
So if they go 4-5 the rest of the way, they'll be on the butt. They need to win one in the Big 12 to feel good. They haven't beat anybody.
What are their best wins this year?
I'm
Kansas
assuming
State,
if they get
Oklahoma
to,
State.
I think if they get to 9-9 or 10-8 is where I have them finishing right now, then mm-hmm, they'll get a Baylor at home or
– Do they get credit, do you think, for playing Zega close? They didn't win. Did they get any credit?
I mean, I'm sure that they'll look at it.
If they're on the bubble, I think –
If Zega's undefeated?
You could probably look at it and say, hey, they got a lot of seniors too, and they can get the benefit of the doubt based on
correct
the roster.
I totally agree.
The thing that just drives me crazy with this team is how bad we are out of timeouts for a team that's got all the seniors. We're really bad out of timeouts, inbounds plays. We just don't ever score on them. But I just don't understand. We're short. When teams can set up their defense against us, we get a little stagnant. Our adjusted tempo, Chris, is 162nd in the country.
Yeah, it should be top 50.
Why are we not running constantly over and over and
especially
over?
Especially in Hilton.
That's one thing I don't get. And we slowed it down too much against West Virginia in the second half.
Yep, totally agree.
That's what I don't get. And then, you know, the subbing thing can get a little bit, you know, touch and go, but why Matt Thomas sat for 4 minutes in that second half, I'll never understand.
It's not the NBA. You know?
Dude, play.
You don't have a lot of games coming.
You get timeouts in the 16, 12, 8, plus you have your own timeouts you're going
to
call.
I want Matt, too, to, like, when he's feeling it, he needs to fire away. Like, there were a couple instances in that second half where, like, do you remember the one where he's standing on the Pioneer sign? And instead of launching
I
did, too. I said that to Stansbury. Instead of doing that, he dumped it inside to Burton, who dribbled it off his foot and turned it over. Like, it's like, God, dude, like when you're you've made 16 out of your last 22 threes. Shoot the damn ball. Like, everybody's killing the Prohm and stuff for get Matt. Matt had looks. He's got to want to fire.
Well, there's two parts to that. He does need to fire, and he did that against Kansas State. He went searching for a shot against Kansas State. But at the same time, we don't set up or draw up really a whole lot of plays for him. Most of his shots were
driving
kicks.
Are we drawing up plays for anybody?
But here's – no, but when the guy's 16 for 22
I get
and you're
it.
struggling to score, you've got to find a way to get the guy to ball.
There's no George, though, for the plays.
That's the problem. Instead of having George kicking it out and getting those guys' looks, you have Deontay.
And you got.
But Deontay was actually really good in that aspect on Tuesday of getting in the middle of the lane and kicking it out.
Yeah, he did
he
a good
– 10 assists, career-high 10 assists.
Gray, like five turnovers, but you'll take that.
Against West Virginia, when you have the ball that much, I don't kill him.
Let me give you something to geek out on, you basketball analysts, you. And the only reason I pull out this statistic is because this is not – this is bad. This is bad, okay? A lot about Iowa State's good, but specifically, and I'm on KenPom, free throws attempted to field goals attempted. Right? Yep. So how often do we get to the line, basically?
We don't.
We are number 350 out of 351 teams.
Yeah.
Okay? That is horrendous.
Yeah,
okay?
But we also –
is that something that we just suck at? We're not trying to get fouled? Where does that fall, and why are we so utterly bad at that?
Well
– just because we're a jump-shooting team?
Yeah, I mean, our bigs are who?
Nobody.
Exactly. And so that hurts you a little bit. And then even our point guards aren't go attack and finish – at the rim type guys. I mean, Monte's sometimes, but
isn't part of one of the goals of a successful offensive basketball team, though, to get fouls? So you go to the line and get those free, easy points?
I mean, you'd like those free, easy points, but I'd have to go back and look at even when Fred's team were scoring a lot of points, how they were never shooting a lot of free throws. They were 278, 26, 254, so those teams weren't going to the free throw line a whole lot either. I mean, I think Iowa State fans kind of are obsessed with the whole Tim Floyd model, right? We want to make more free throws than the other team shoots.
Yeah.
But, you know, that every team's a little different and their style's different.
I mean, the style couldn't be more.
Yeah. And plus, let's be honest, Tim Floyd's one of the most overrated coaches in basketball history.
We don't have time for that.
Of course.
We need to get to the
we're going props?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Jesus, Adam, you just stirred up a hornet's nest there.
People are gonna
I wasn't around during the Floyd years, so I don't really – I'm not that emotionally attached to it, but, you just pissed off a lot of people.
He's doing a hell of a good job at UTEP.
You done?
I'm done. I just throwing a little.
So when Prohm gets fired this year, you're not for bringing Tim Floyd back?
I've never been for bringing. I'll bring Larry Stacey back all day. That guy can coach.
I was being sarcastic about firing Prohm, but you know somebody's gonna take that and run with it. Okay. Some Super Bowl prop bets. We're all supposed to bring three today. Did you guys bring your three prop bets?
I did.
I got a few here that I can weigh in on.
I'm gonna go with number one. It'll be the first thing you see. What will Luke Bryan be wearing when he starts singing the national anthem? 1-2 odds, blue jeans. 3-2 odds, any other pants or shorts. You got to go with the blue jeans, right?
He's a country guy,
isn't he? Yeah, I mean, he's a douche country singer.
Well, if he's a douche country singer, then you don't go with jeans, right?
He
could be wearing some leather pants at douche country.
This is true, but Luke Bryan is, like, his trademark is like the super tight ass jeans.
The super douche
like,
wear.
I mean, like, that are just on skin. Those types. So,
they're painted on.
Yeah. Douche country. He's wearing the blue jeans. Where are you guys at on that one?
I agree with you on that one. I think that I don't know him at all, but yeah, I would think. He's not going to wear a suit,
no.
You know? I don't think at all. Mine plays right into – or my first one plays right into that theme. And I'm bringing up some data here for the people at home. The national anthem.
Yeah.
Okay? Over under. I believe it's at 2 minutes, 10 seconds is where we're at. 209, 210, depending upon where you get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am going under for Luke Bryan. And here's a couple of interesting things.
I'm going to take the over here. I've actually thought about this.
So when you look at, okay, typically the song clocks in right about there, okay? There's a few people in the past. Carrie Underwood comes to mind.
Yeah.
Kelly Clarkson's not really country. She lives in Nashville, so we'll count her.
She's not country.
Kelly Clarkson.
Who?
Kelly Clarkson. Hear me
she
out.
She married Reba's son, and all of a sudden she thinks she's
so,
country.
So Luke Bryan.
And then they got a divorce.
Luke Bryan is not a guy that's going to go on a lot of vocal runs, right? He's not Christina Aguilera. He's a country singer. I think he's going to get straight to the point. Kelly Clarkson did it in a minute 34. That song can be cranked out if you want to crank it out. I think he's going to go well under. The 210.
So Simmons actually looked into this. Did you listen to Simmons' prop bet podcast? We've got some we've got some proof that Luke Bryan's last recorded anthem was 159.
Okay, which is good for me in the under.
Well, it's good for you in the under, but I would also add that this is his biggest stage. So yeah.
And does he have a big ego?
Massive ego.
Oh, he's going to want to. It'll be 3 minutes.
I think that he could carry this thing out a little bit. So what are the odds for the under and the over?
Nick, can you pull that up? I don't have that here. Nick's
-120.
I'm taking the over, Mark.
Whew.
What are you going to put $2,000 on the under?
No, they limit these prop bets to like $200.
Oh, by the
so.
Way, thanks to our friend Nick over here. I'm all in on Team Fluff taking
yeah.
the odds.
Team Fluff or Team Scruff in the Puppy Bowl?
I'm taking Fluff.
Okay, Gray, what do you got? What's prop?
All right, my first prop, easiest bet of the entire time. There is a prop on roughing the passer.
Oh, it's a Brady Super Bowl. Yeah, of course there's going to be one.
Plus 165 that there will be.
Oh, this is
I'm getting
easy.
Great odds on Tom Brady gets touched. Even a finger, they're throwing the flag. Yep. And I get plus 165?
Gray, when I saw that, I thought of you.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? It's the easiest money I've ever seen.
I'm in on that with you, man.
Good Lord.
I love it. It's so funny because when I was going through these, I thought, oh, my God, Gray's going to eat this one up.
That's a pretty good one.
It stood right out to me.
This isn't one of mine, but for those bettors out there that want some recent history, will there be a safety might be a decent one. It's like plus 625, and we've had safeties in a few of the last Super Bowls. So,
I don't know. Safeties, I don't think I would bet that. Mark.
It's a good return on the money.
Okay.
If you're right.
What is it? Plus what?
I think it's plus 625.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
That is good.
All right, what do you got?
Nah.
Heads or tails for the coin toss. This is tails never fails. You got to go tails. -102.
That's the most boring prop bet ever.
But it's a 50-50.
Yeah, but you're losing juice on it.
Roll with it, baby. Tails never fails. Giddy up.
All right, I got two.
Did you see the odds as far as what the Patriots will call on the toss? It's like -1200 that they're calling heads. -1300. So they must call heads every single time, and they must know about it. Plus 675 if they call tails.
You know what's crazy is some of these, like when they talk about mentions, like will they mention or will they show Giselle or will they show people in the crowd or whatever? And Joe Buck doesn't have direct control over where the cameras go.
But he could totally
But these guys know about them. He was on one of the shows talking about how they know about these prop bets. So he could absolutely swing it.
I heard on Mike and Mike there's a prop bet whether he'd be freshly shaven or not. Like if you're his friend, aren't you being like, hey,
I bet he will.
He's usually got the little scruff. Like,
well, yeah, I'd want inside info.
Yeah.
There's no question.
So Fox has the Super Bowl this year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, here's two.
Was I thinking it was Collinsworth? And
I'm going to give you guys two guaranteed winners, all right? You can pay your mortgage this month on these two. The first one, will there be – I got to find the odds. Maybe Nick can help me again here. Will there be a defensive or special teams touchdown scored? Absolutely not. These special teams blow for both. They have one or two combined touchdowns all year on special teams. And the two quarterbacks are awesome and throw rarely any interceptions, et cetera. You might get a fumble return, et cetera. But, no, there's not going to be a defensive touchdown. No special team is -210. No special team. So go ahead and put your $200 on it. Win your 100. Thank me later.
I hate odds like that.
Do you like odds
like that?
No.
You don't have to like the odds. You have to like the winning part. Do you guys think there's going to be a defensive?
I'm with you, Mark. I'll ride or die with you, brother.
Boom. Let me go to one more right away. You guys can weigh in this. I'm saying yes. Will there or will there not be a one-yard touchdown score in this game?
Yes.
I'm saying there will be. And one of the reasons is pass interference in the end zone. Yep. Puts the ball on the one. And I think you're going to see that. So I would absolutely bet a one-yard touchdown run.
That's good, Mark.
What are the odds on that one?
-175.
That's not great either for that, though.
But it should happen. How are the odds supposed to be good? Like, in theory, it should happen.
I want to know the stats. Like,
I mean, these
teams
are going to score, what, 6 to 9 touchdowns?
You would assume. What's the over-under again?
One of those being?
You should do, like, real research on this.
How often there's a one-yard score?
No, on any, like... on these prop bets, and you should come on Fanatics tomorrow, and we should do a prop bet.
I think there actually is research that can be done on
58.5 is the over-under?
People just look at
take
massive.
The under.
That's
people,
take
the under. People just look at these and assume it's just a crapshoot. They don't know what's going to happen. But you can absolutely look into these and say what's likely to happen. So no, I'm on both of those for sure.
My second one is how many times Donald Trump from his real Donald Trump account will tweet during Super Bowl Sunday. Over under is set at 6.5.
Like the whole day.
The whole day, from just that account. So he's got the president account as well.
Wait, when does it start to when is it? It can't be the whole day. Like
it's
the morning?
No, it's the whole day.
So it starts at midnight.
Starts at midnight till midnight.
Oh, it'd take the over.
Over under 6.5.
So my question would be
under, all he does is tweet.
Under Sunday's a day of rest. Donald will be sitting there watching his guacamole.
Like a good Christian man that he is.
My question would be how often I don't expect you to actually know this, but how often a day does he tweet now?
Retweets do not count, by the way.
Does he tweet all the time?
I don't know.
Right now?
I don't know, but 6.5? That's a lot. Isn't he busy now? He's a president.
It just depends. I mean, you could tweet 6 times in like 5 minutes if the subject's right.
Let's see.
I mean,
today so far.
He's tweeted 48 times.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Shit. He's already tweeted 5 times. It's not even noon.
It's 11:45.
And I had the under.
I got one more for you, boys.
Can I change that bet, please?
It's Trump. That's all he does is tweet.
I got one more for you. And again, I'm looking for the odds.
Do you think he knows this? Do you think he knows? Like, does someone tell him that he's a prop bet for one of these?
Oh, probably. That'd be funny if he just blew it up, tweeted like 100 times.
His sons are putting millions of dollars down on the over.
Nick, if you find this one as well, go ahead. Here's a little bit of a risky one, but I like it as well. A missed extra point. Will it happen? Will it not happen? Gostkowski has been struggling lately, and you're going to have a lot of touchdowns. So that means a lot of extra point attempts.
In a dome.
A miss is plus 245.
It's not bad.
That might be worth a risk.
Yeah, that is good.
In my opinion. It happens. You had several last week that got missed.
The way I
or
look
2 weeks
these,
ago.
These props, it's kind of like your stock portfolio.
Like the marijuana stocks?
You just want to have, like, I mean, eventually, like, as you're building up your arsenal, you want to have, like, 3%, 4%. Like, you don't want to load up on too much of one sector. So I think you do all of these. Like, if you're gonna play the prop bets, you need to play, like, 10 of them because it'll even out eventually.
Yeah, I think
it'll
I will. I'm gonna play, and it makes – not only that, I mean,
Mark,
the game itself is interesting, but I want to play, like – you have all this extra stuff in the game.
Let's play the same ones because that'll be fun because then we can text about them.
All right. I will happily bet like 10 different props.
Yeah, no, okay, we're going to do it.
And we'll see what happens.
We got to take the over on the anthem, though. I really am. I'm big.
I'm torn on that.
Who knows
man.
Country music? Who knows it? Not me. Not you. Me.
Carrie Underwood wasn't close to that when she did it.
That means she's the female version.
Yeah, but females takes longer than males to sing songs.
No, to get ready in the morning, but not sing songs.
No, because they go on runs. They go on runs. Luke Bryan's not going on a run.
What was that?
You know? They're not. I'm right on this.
All right. You want to hear my last one?
Yeah, because I got to get going. Jeff Woody's going to kill me if I'm late to working out.
Of course.
Dude, he's a bad man in that gym.
All right. So I like to always have one that is crazy high odds, like you can get a big payout, but it's entirely possible.
Yep.
So Falcons' first touchdown comes from a player. I looked this up. First off, Patriots always take away the best player, right? So Jones is going to – they're going to try to take him away. He's only scored –
Their secondary is a little
It is, but they do a good job. They'll double him. And as good as Julio Jones is, he only had 6 touchdowns this year. Levine Tualolo is their tight end. Plus 2,000 for a tight end. I'll take plus 2,000 odds. To have the first touchdown scored. So Matt Ryan throws a touchdown to him, plus 2,000 for a tight end. I'll take that.
That is a good
– My obvious question is
–
I might put 10 to win 200.
How many touchdowns did he catch this year?
2.
So there's a chance.
Yeah, there's a chance. No one on the team caught more than 6.
Me there's a chance.
Matt Ryan spreads it out a little bit. Huh? Levine. He's saying plus 3,000. The odds are getting even better.
Nice.
I like it.
I have the lock.
I mean, might as well.
I have your prop bet lock right here.
I'm ready.
If the Patriots win, will Brady, Belichick, or Kraft be seen shaking Roger Goodell's hand on TV? Yes is minus 180. No is plus 140. That is absolutely yes.
You think they will shake hands?
Yes.
And the cameras will be glued to them.
Yeah, the camera will catch it. I think for sure Kraft will. He's the owner.
Well, it doesn't matter. You get all 3 of them.
Yeah, but for sure. Brady, I've heard a lot about this. Brady and the commissioner, even if Brady won the MVP, don't have a lot of interaction up on the stage. Brady kind of hangs back while they do the trophy to the owner. They don't do it to the quarterback or anything. And then apparently the MVP is handed out by somebody else.
Because here's what's going to happen. Like, Goodell – in his role is going to go in for the handshake. And it would have to be a real heel move for Kraft to, you know, do the hole and then swipe his hair back.
Isn't it amazing the world we live in where somebody can cheat and then they can cry victim? Like, oh, we're the victims in this deal. Oh, other people.
Grace hatred for Brady's.
No, just hatred of people. It's the same thing in baseball, letting these people that use steroids into the Hall of Fame. They cry. They're all of a sudden they're the victims. Barry Bonds is a victim.
Let me give you one more that's entirely possible.
Okay.
And a good return, good healthy return, but has never happened in Super Bowl history. That's the game going to overtime. Plus 675.
That's never happened in Super Bowl history.
No. Plus 675 on that one.
We've had
a 3-point spread, so it's very.
It should be close. The Patriots have gone. Brady's gone to 6 Super Bowls, won 4, and all 4 they've won. The margin of victory has been 3, 3, 3, and 4. They win close Super Bowls. There's no question. I think it's close no matter what.
We've been spoiled with championship games last year, if you think about it. NCAA basketball, Villanova, it's the buzzer beater.
One
football,
of the best ever.
Clemson, Alabama,
one
goes down to the final
ever.
Seconds. NBA, 3-1, Cavs come back. That game seven.
World Series.
Yep, World
seven
Series.
Games.
Was awesome. I mean, we've been spoiled.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good game. I really do. I don't see either one of these teams blowing out the other team. I just don't see it.
Let's make our picks here. 2 minutes, then I got to go.
I think Falcons are a better team, but it's hard to go against Belichick and Brady. I mean, that's a.
I thought Brady's overrated.
No, I never. You're taking your.
Do you feel like he thinks that?
I think he thinks he's not the GOAT, but I think he probably thinks he's a pretty good quarterback.
I think he's a very good quarterback. I think people that just say he's the greatest of all time, I think it's a little short-sighted. You got to take into account the difference.
When he wins on Sunday, is he the greatest of all time?
No, I don't think. I think it's just.
I think the difference comes down to defense. As Gray would say, Super Bowls are won by the defense. Yeah. I think the Patriots have the better defense and more experience, clearly, and they win. But again, it's close. It's less than 7 points for the victory here.
Who will you guys be cheering for?
Patriots.
I love Tom.
You really
Brady.
Be cheering for the Patriots?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How can you cheer for the Patriots over the Falcons? What is wrong with you?
We like greatness, dude. I want to see a guy win 5 Super Bowls.
I'm still a little bit soured over the 1998 NFC Championship game and the Dirty Bird being done on the Metrodome. That bothers me. And I love Brady.
Honestly, I think a lot of people love Brady.
I hope Jeff Woody makes you cry today.
I think a lot of people, as dumb as it is, they want to see the Patriots win so they see what happens after with the commissioner.
I'd love to see that.
They want to see it.
I love dynasties.
I think they're great. We love drama.
The Falcons they're not interesting to me. There's nothing interesting to me about the Falcons.
You don't like Matt Ryan?
No, I don't dislike him. He's just not interesting.
He's boring.
Yeah, he's a boring guy.
How are him and Brady any different from their personalities?
Brady's got the supermodel wife.
But that's personality,
you don't feel like you know anything about Matt Ryan personally. Nothing. Right? Because of Tom Brady and who he's married to, at least you feel like you know something about the guy. And what you know is he likes to wear Uggs. He's incredibly sexy. And he's married to a supermodel.
Matt Ryan's not bad to stare at either.
Yeah, but
Brady
he's not on
is
Tom
way
Brady's
better
level.
Looking than Matt Ryan.
You know, you ever see the pictures of Brady back all the way through like college?
Have you seen Matt Ryan on the cover of GQ? I haven't seen it. So
you can make any of those guys look good.
If I were a female and I could pick any dude in the world to be married to, it'd be Brady.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
No, I can't back you on that.
Who would you be married to?
Brett Favre. It's a man.
Jeez.
That is a man right there.
I think if any athlete, money obviously is a big part of
it. It'd be Brady or George Strait.
But if you could say, who would you want to be? If you could be, whose wife would you want? If you could be any athlete? Tom Brady would be way up there.
Jeter had a good life when he was playing.
Yeah, he certainly did.
Jeter had a good life.
We're going to knock this out. Jeff's seriously going to kill me.
I don't – who cares? Woody, hey – Tell my
step off, Jeff.
Yeah.
All right. Enjoy the game, fellas. Peace.